Here we are, Wednesday night. Okay, I'm gonna get everyone to do something really awkward. Who doesn't like awkward? Yeah, okay. Just everyone stand. Yeah, and just you're gonna move your chair, all of your chairs, just do like one big step backwards. So I want you to all move your chairs backwards. Because we just talked about the altar, and we're gonna have the altar open tonight. There we go. Awesome. There we go. It's actually, I got us to do that because it's more for the guys on the front row because I spit. Damien, I see you. Good to see you, homie. The running man. Fastest man in South Australia, I reckon. Good to see you. And anyway, kia ora tātou te whānau. Ko Trent Membry tuku ingoa, ko takatumi te waka, takatumi te maunga, ka tahu te iwi, nā tā te whui e te hapu, ko oraka aparima marae, kia ora tātou, tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you for your very warm welcome, Pastor Elton and Lisa. I ain't got much to say about them because I don't really know them, so... I'm not that traveling pastor that gets it. You know, these guys are amazing. And I'm just like, yeah, they're pretty all good. They're all good. They know how to put on a good feed. Had some good food. I'm from what I do know, I'm just really proud of them. Because they've taken on a church. And... That's a big deal. And so look after them. Make it easy for them. If you don't make it easy, I'm going to come back and see you guys next year and we'll have a conversation. No, but you guys are great people and you don't need to be doing this. You're very, like, talented people. You're very skilled. And you could be doing anything in the marketplace. That's what I noticed straight away. You don't have to be doing this. But you're doing it because God told you to. And I honor and respect that. There's been much sacrifice, way more than people know. And God's going to honor your sacrifice. But the greatest thing is obedience, because the Bible says obedience is greater than sacrifice. So you've been obedient, and there's been sacrifice. And it's a great combination, because the Lord's going to bless it. You guys are in for a wonderful season in your church. You got a new season on your church as I was praying today in the hotel. You guys have got a new day coming, and that's really good. Amen. Okay, so I should share about my family. Anyway, shot my sister from another mother, Vicky Simpson, and her awesome husband, Damien. These guys are the real deal. If I had it my way, I'd be hanging out with Damien and Vicky all my life. Because they're just the real deal, you know. Like, I like real, you know. Sometimes it's not all real in church, you know. It's all a bit like, some places a bit like. But this guy, they're the real deal. I love these guys. So when they said they're planting in this church, I was like, this church would be the real deal. So that's all good. So it's good to be here. So, a little bit about me as I introduce myself. I have part Māori in me. I love my Māori heritage. My whakapapa, my genealogy, my people that I whakapapa back to is a tribe in the South Island called Ngāi Tahu. And my marae, my meeting house, my tribe's meeting house, is at the ends of the earth, literally. My marae looks at to Stewart Island. It's the pretty much last place in New Zealand. And so I went there for the first time about 4 years ago. It's really beautiful. So that's my mother's side anyway. And my father's side, I'm actually half Australian. Cheer my cousins. No, so I'm half Australian. My father was born in a little place called Barham. Anyone know where Barham is? I've met two people. You know, because I've just told you. I've only met two people that have gone, yeah, I know Barron, of all these years, but it's about 3 hours, 3.5 hours northwest of Melbourne, about an hour and a half past Bendigo, next to a place called, what is it? Echuca. Echuca, yeah, next on the Murray River on the other side. Yeah, so that's where my whakapapa backed on my father's side. I got the hottest wife in the world. I am blessed. Vicky can back it up. You meet my wife, Damien? Well, he's going to say Vicky's the hottest wife, so anyway, I can't ask him. But I should have a photo up. But anyway, beautiful wife, Jade, 4 children. I've got a 19-year-old, 17-year-old, and then I've got a 5 and a 3-year-old. I know, what have I done? What the heck? They're all about to leave the nest and have started all over again. So I got 2 girls, 19, 17, Akayla and Ella, and then 5-year-old Luca and 3-year-old Koa. My 5-year-old boy Luca's born with Down syndrome. He is awesome. He's the man. And these little boys have put me through hell and back. My little boy Koa, 3 years ago, he was born with a heart condition that is hard. In the first 6 hours of his life, his heart went from 80 beats per minute to 270 beats per minute. I didn't even think that was possible. I was like, what the? I was like, your machine's broken. And they ran in, and then all of a sudden, they like got a bucket of water with a bag of ice, and they're submerging my son head first, drowning him like for 5 seconds to try and reset his heart. But they weren't doing it for 5 seconds anyway, because it's been a long time since they could done that to a child. Anyway, long story short, I had to do that 14 times in his first 6 weeks of his life to save my son's life, to reset his heart. Yeah, that's while our church in Whangarei was in the middle of revival. So it was an interesting season, you know. But Jesus said, you know, you'll have much trouble in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And the afflictions of the righteous are many. I wish someone told me that when I got saved. Hey, Vic. Hey, I didn't really say all that stuff, but anyway. He's been supernaturally healed. His little thing that set off his heart and all that's disappeared. So praise God for that. So you can give the Lord some praise for that. Been in ministry for like, been saved 19 years, which I'll touch on in a minute. But been in ministry pretty much from the get-go, first year, like in ministry 1 year in, doing kids' church and youth. Then became a pastor within 3 years. Pastor in a church in Monaco. Shot to the boys that have been out to our churches. Yep. C3 Monaco, so took it over. It was like 50 people, and we saw a revival. Vicky's preached there. It was an awesome church. Exploded to about 400. And then I went and planted a brand new church in Whangarei, which is our northern part of New Zealand. It's our furthest city. Went with 4 families, and that took off, had revival. We took over the biggest nightclub in Whangarei and turned us into a church. So once a house of sin, now a house of worship, but still full of sinners. Amen. And so that grew from like 4 families to about 400 in a space of 5 years. We saw a move of God. Probably like 200, probably half the church is first-time decisions and discipled and in the church. The guy who's pastoring after me got saved in the first year of that church. So he's only 4 years saved. He's now the pastor of the church. We felt called to reach Māori. That was on our heart. The church would be 50 to 60% Māori. And we saw everything from gang members to... we saw a 4-year-old boy get brought into our meeting. So just like this, interesting day, Elton. This is an interesting day in church. So I get up to preach, and a lady runs into the back of our meeting screaming, "My son is dead. My son is dead." And she runs down the aisle. There's a center aisle like this, and she's running with her boy in her arms and runs straight to me and puts this boy in my arms. Lifeless boy in my arms. His eyes are gray. And I flick my eyes, fingers over his eyes, and he's dead. He's nothing. And I'm like, "Church, pray." Oh, you've never heard a church pray in all your life. I was really proud of them that night, and they started praying, and don't know what to do. So I put him on the stage and I said, is there a doctor in the house? Conveniently, the local doctor was visiting our church for the very first time. She actually ended up becoming our doctor, which is awesome. And we always talked about this story. And she said, I'm here. And I said, I could use you. And by that time, my leaders and Jade, my wife's run off. She's calling the ambulance. And doctor comes. And so probably 5 minutes has gone by this stage. It would have taken her 2 minutes to bring the boy up. So he's like, should be brain dead, should be everything. And so we prayed, checking pulse, church is praying. I've got the church praying. Had the worship person still playing worship. They're like, Waymaker, miracle. You know, I was so proud of my team, you know. And then nothing. And then I just had a moment. I just went, I believe, Lord. Signs and wonders follow those who believe. It says in the Bible that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work within us. And I said, get out of the way, push the doctor away. And I said, son, listen to me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command the spirit of death to leave. And I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that this boy shall not leave this place and be with us again, Father. In Jesus' name, I say, live. And this boy just opened his eyes, sat up and went, mama. Yeah, it was wow, right? It's a good day in church. I got about 200 witnesses, so it didn't make it up. It happened. And then did an altar call, and it was like 17 decisions for Jesus. You're going to get saved on that day, right? Hey, you're going to get saved on that day. And one end of the meeting was a senior member of the Black Power, which is New Zealand's biggest gang. And then on this end of the altar was one of the senior members of the Mongrel Mob, New Zealand's second biggest gang, rival gangs. Both on the end of the mud, and they both got saved. I should bring photos and all that, but anyway, it was interesting. And then all of the stuff happened with my children while all of that's going on. But the Lord has called us back to Auckland, and I've been on the road doing this for the last 18 months, preaching, serving the body of Christ for the last 18 months in Australia and New Zealand. But I feel called to plant churches, and the Lord's releasing me to go do that. So I'm planting 3 churches this year in northern part of New Zealand under the C3 movement. I'm not doing them myself. I've got disciples of mine that I've been raising up for the last 15 years. They're planting the churches. We've built it like a 5-fold ministry team around them to serve them and to resource them and equip them and just let them pass to the people on the ground. And so we've already taken over a church up there. We're planning one in 6 weeks and then another in mid-year. So pray for us. Got a lot going on. Just the way I like it. Amen. But I met the Lord 19 years ago. I met the Lord. Well, I didn't meet him, but I called out to God in a hotel when I was kidnapped. So 19 years ago, I was kidnapped by gang members. I was in a hotel room with shotguns held to my head. How did I get there, you ask? Well, I was not who I am today. I had, from the age of 14 or 13, I'd been a drug addict, but by the age of 19, I got addicted to a drug that is ripping our country apart right now, and I believe is ripping your country apart right now, a drug called crystal meth. I got addicted to that drug for 7 years of my life. I developed a $250 to $500 drug habit a day. I ended up manufacturing methamphetamine on a large scale. I had people cooking it for me. I ran with one of New Zealand's most notorious motorcycle clubs and did pretty well. I was making up to sort of $100,000 a week at some stages. Anyway, my life came crashing down. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time and got kidnapped for 2 days and should be dead. And I called out to a God that I did not know in that meeting, in that kidnapping. And I said to him, God, if you're real, help me. And this is what I said to him. If you help me, I'll help you. Let's all think about that statement for just a second. I'm gonna help you, God. You know, like, but I was so desperate. Like, I thought I was going to die. And you can go listen to my whole testimony on YouTube. I didn't feel like to share tonight. I really felt to bring this message tonight. But I called out to God in that kidnapping. Since I called out to God, I've never touched drugs, never been wasted for 19 years from that very moment. That deserves a paki paki mai. Paki paki mai means clap in Māori. And, just been running for Jesus ever since. You know, Vic, there's a statistic. Man, I hate these statistics. statistics going around that in your first 2 years of following Jesus, that'll be the most on fire for Him that you'll ever be. And I get that, you know, because when we come to Jesus, give me a wave if you don't, if you follow Jesus. Give me a wave if you don't yet. Okay, so we can talk about that. So, like, in your first 2 years, right? Like, everything changes. Like, everything looks different, smells different. Like, you know, the scales have come off. It's like, whoa, okay, I get all this. And, you know, and you're passionate about talking to people about Jesus. And so I understand that in that first 2 years. But I can't read that anywhere in the Bible. Where does it say that in the Bible, that in your first 2 years, and then after that, you just go back to your normal life? And you know what? I actually like see that all through the church. That I don't see the church as what it should be. The church to me today looks like a cruise ship, not a battleship. We are a battleship. We are a force. We are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are the answer to every, the church is the answer to every city, town, and place on earth. We are it. We have in Colossians, it says, the hope of glory in us. And are we fully burning with hope, love, faith, expectation, hunger, fire? To me, the answer to that is no. Because I'm traveling all around these nations and not seeing it. And people are still like living really in a way like that they were, but they're just in church and they're doing good things and they're ticking a few boxes and then they're just going back to their life. Acts 1:8 says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to be witnesses. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you witnessed to someone outside of the four walls of the church? When was, yeah, same. I've done it like three people. I mean, twice with these guys. The waitress, the homeless guy. I mean, I just do it all day, every day. I mean, I've led tens of thousands to the Lord in church meetings, but I've led thousands to the Lord on the streets that I don't talk to people about. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to be different. Am I right? And so on this journey, I've just been like talking to people and talking to pastors, but mainly talking to people and like, why? Why are you not in your fullness? Why are you not fully surrendered? Why are you not like burning for Him all the time? And there's probably many things, but probably these are the three things that I see that is stopping people from walking in their fullness. Okay? And I believe at the end of tonight, we're going to stand on this altar and we're going to deal with these things. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to deal with them. What's your name again? Summer. Hi. High five. Like you're the worship dude's daughter. Really loves you, Summer. Jesus really loves you. He's really, really proud of you. You think Dad's an amazing worship leader? He ain't got nothing on you. Summer, I looked over to you tonight when I was sitting on those chairs and you had a book in your hands, am I right? You were drawing something. But what I could see, what the Lord was showing me, is you're going to write worship songs. You're going to write amazing worship songs. And people are going to hear your songs and they're going to get healed. They're going to get delivered. They're going to find their purpose. And it's not because of the preacher. It's because of your songs. When you sing these songs, people are going to meet Jesus in the most divine way. He really loves you.
He's thought about you 10,000 times today. You can come be my worship leader when you get a little bit older, right? Amen. Ready to look at these three things? We're going to do some business tonight. You called it out, and people are going to leave here different tonight. People are going to leave these things on this altar. The worship leader called it. We're leaving them some things on the altar tonight. Okay? Here's the three things that I'm seeing of people that are stopping them walking in the fullness of God. Okay? Here's the first one. Your past. People's past. When you and I first develop memories, when we are born, we start taking in the world around us. These experiences shape us with how we see the world. We absorb the patterns, voices, values, beliefs, and ways of thought of those around us. And once you get familiar with that group or place, when you go away somewhere down the line or overseas for a long time, and you come home, you have that familiar and comfortable feeling, oh, it's so good to be home. Okay, let's say you go to like Fiji for like a couple of weeks, right? That's like amazing. It's like, it's all good. But after about 3 weeks, I want my bed. Oh, you know, see my dog, you know, my garden, my house. Oh, and it doesn't matter how paru, like paru in Māori is like rugged. It doesn't matter how rugged your home is. It's like, it's your home. And when you get home, it's like your spirit. It's like, because it's familiar. But that's not always good. When we take out women and men out of violent relationships, how many times do we see them go back to violent relationships? Even though how bad it is, they would rather go back to it because it's familiar. And in church context, it doesn't matter how amazing God is moving, how powerful, how tangible you feel the presence of God. Dead babies getting raised from the dead. We still get people, oh, the coffee wasn't that good this morning. I don't know about that song. Oh, you know, we don't do enough stuff for the homeless song. Am I right? Oh, it's not like the old days. I always say to people, when did the good old days get old? You made it get old. Whatever was happening, you didn't carry it on. And now it's old, right? You just keep it. Oh, the old oil. And you know what? It's this, what I'm talking about is in the Bible. We read the children of Israel get taken out of Egypt, right? Here they are every single day seeing the tangible presence of God. Fire at night, the cloud in the day. I mean, KFC being dropped from heaven every single day. Manna and quail getting dropped from, I mean, I don't know about you, but probably for me, the second greatest miracle, bar Jesus being raised from the dead, the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, check that out. Imagine if Alton just goes, church, check this out, and just goes down to the Perth River. Right? You would be like. But what do we read about the people? Oh, the coffee. Oh, the food. Oh, it's a bit cold in here. Oh, we read what the children, that they were moaning and groaning. But here's the clincher. Where did they want to go back to? Egypt. And what did Egypt offer them? Slavery. They would rather go back to being slaves because their past offers them security. And we see it all time in church. People on fire for God, doing good, and then all of a sudden, they settle back for the second thing. Or they go back to their old ways. Because it's comfortable, it's familiar. But that's not how it's meant to be. We have a way that connects us to go forward and not backwards. And that thing is a thing called the promises of God. Your and I's promised land is found in the promises of God. When you have moments where you don't feel God and you don't think God's with you, instead of running back, hold on to the promise. My God said He will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not going backwards. I'm holding on to that promise and I'm moving forward. I'm not feeling any financial blessing. I'm feeling lack. No. The promise is said, I will supply all your needs. You see, the promises of God connect us to our promised land. Your promised land, your future is connected into the promises of God. And we see so many brothers and sisters come here, give their hearts to Jesus, on fire, 6 months later, gone. Go back to their drinking, go back to their relationships, go back to all that stuff. And we go, oh, you know, they weren't ready. No. They're going back to familiar things. Oh, here's the exciting bit. Some people here, you're relating to what I'm talking about today. But maybe, just maybe, God allows your past to follow you. Just like as the children of Israel were walking through the parting of the Red Sea, who was following them? Pharaoh and his army, their past. And he allowed their past to follow them to get to one point where they get to their promised land, turn around and watch their past drown in front of their eyes. And I believe tonight God's allowed your past for you to get to this point, to stand on this altar and watch your past drown in front of your eyes, because your past will no longer dictate your future and it will not offer you security. We've got revival coming. And we need people, the church, to see. We need the people that are lost to come in and see that we are people that are standing in the promises of God. And they can come in and stay in, not come in and go back out to their Egypts. If you've turned up for a soft message tonight, wrong place. And if you've got a problem with it, have it up with Damien and Vicky. Amen. We're going to watch your past drown tonight. Here's the second thing I see. The great life. Second thing I see stopping people walking in the fullness of God is the great life. You and I are not called to live the great life. We have a great life here in, well, I have a great life in New Zealand, and I'm pretty sure it's the same in Australia. If you're on the unemployment benefit in New Zealand, though, so the dole, whatever you call it here, we're in the top 12% rich people of the world. 85% of the world lives on $500 US a year. It's like $1.20 a day. Well, I don't have the latest iPhone. Oh, my car's like 2015, you know. 36,000 people, kids mainly, in Africa will starve today of starvation. We have a great life, but we are not called to live a great life. We are called to live a greater life. Jesus said it himself, John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That single promise greater things than these should be enough to shatter our acceptance of spiritual mediocrity. Unfortunately, most believers only tried and given up on vague notions of greatness and then settled into a life that's just good enough. We are called to live a greater life. Way bigger and way more surrendered than the life that we've been offered here in Australia and New Zealand. And I see many people that aren't walking in their fullness because they've got a thing or something that's holding them back from living the greater life. And some of you may have one of these things tonight that are holding you back from living in the fullness and the purpose and plans of God for your life. When I went to Whangarei to plant a church, just before we went, the Lord blessed me and my family. I got given land in Auckland City. Given. It's like land in Sydney. It's like gold. We got given it. Praise God. Then my wife's mum is one of New Zealand's top architects. She said, I'll design your home how you want it. Architecturally designed home, polished concrete, skylights, black batten works. We lived next to the house getting built. So we lived in this lodge. So we watched it getting built. Praise Jesus. So 6 weeks before the house finished, God said to me, you're going to Whangarei. Okay, we're going to Whangarei. Okay. I'll just rent the house. I'll rent the house. And then I'm praying like 4 weeks later, and I heard the Lord say, burn your plow. Burn my plow. Burn the plow. Plow. I know that's, I've read that somewhere. Burn the plow. And I found myself reading 1 Kings 19:19-21. Great story in the Bible. We read of the great prophet Elijah coming to meet his apprentice, his understudy, Elisha. And we meet Elisha, and here he is with 12 oxen and a plow. Sometimes we read stuff in the Bible and we just skip over it. Cool story, he's got 12 oxen and a plow. Chirp. But if you look at context, which is always very important, for you to own 12 oxen and a plow means you were one of the most successful people in your community. He was a businessman. He was a very rich man. And Elisha said, come, and he didn't come. And then he said, I'm coming. And what did he do? He slaughtered the 12 oxen and he burnt the plow. We know the story, right? But then when I got to it, I was like, actually, if he's a businessman, he's a smart fella, why didn't he just rent it out? Or lease the plow, eh, Damien? You're like, smart fella. And then the Lord said to me, showed me. Because that was plan B. And when Elisha took Elisha on the journey, he saw incredible things. Double the anointing. Multiple, double. But we also read, it was also very hard. And when it got hard, he would want to go back to plan B. Slaughter plan B. So back to me. I'll burn the plow. Maybe it's the car. I'll get rid of the car. Plow, car, you know, like sort of looks the same. You know, like sometimes if you're not really listening to the Lord, he'll just like move. And I remember just all of a sudden looking at the house. And the Lord said, burn the plow. Where I'm going to take you, you're going to see amazing things. But when it gets hard, you'll want to come back to plan B. We saw amazing things. But as you heard, drowning my son. My older son, born in the middle of COVID, lockdown, Down syndrome, no family, no community. And people say to me, oh, well, no, you've left Whangarei now, you're back in Auckland. Yeah, but we never left when it was hard. We left when we got through all that and we're about to go and plant churches. We left when it was really good. It's nothing to do with that. So we gave away our home. Brand new home. Still processing. Still processing. This is where I got all the grey hairs, Damien. So we gave it away. Your plough and my plough chains us to the ordinary, to the great life. And ploughs come in all shapes and sizes today. And let me ask you, what is the plough that is holding you back? Maybe it's a relationship. Now, I'm not talking about marriage. So you're not going to come and burn your husband on the altar today. Like, praise God, Pastor Trent. You are sent here, right? You're going down. No. I'm talking about unequally yoked relationships. I'm talking about maybe you're dating someone that's not releasing you to go. Go for it, honey. Follow Jesus. Maybe they are more focused on the world than into God. And that relationship is holding you back. Maybe it's a job and God's told you to let go of the job and go into volunteering at church and to ministry. It doesn't make sense. But we're not called to be, we're called to be comforted by Christ, but get uncomfortable for Him. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And maybe God's spoken to you about letting go because that's chaining you back, that's chaining you to an ordinary life. Can I just tell you, delayed obedience is still disobedience. That's a word for someone. Maybe it's an addiction. Secret addiction. And it's holding you back. It's holding you back to the great life, the ordinary life. Tonight we're going to burn some plows. We're going to drown our past and we're going to burn some plows. Not your husbands or your wives, by the way. And here's the last thing that I see that's stopping from people walking in the fullness of God. And it's giants. And you know the story that I'm getting to when we talk about giants. The great story of David and Goliath. And we read the great story of the great shepherd who comes and no one else is wanting to confront the giant that's screaming for 40 days. Who you got? What you got? Who you got over there? For 40 days. All the whānau, all the boys, all the family in fear. What are we going to do? We're stuffed. And then David just rocks up. What's up, homies? All good? Oh, God, you're not here. Oh, it's all good. And we read 1 Samuel 17 to 26, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine? He did not call him a giant. He called him for what he is, a man. Maybe a big man, but he's just a man. And removes this disgrace from Israel. David's attitude towards Goliath to me is so refreshing. He doesn't refer to him as a giant, but simply another Philistine. He doesn't see the size of the Philistine, but is sickened by the reproach being brought against his nation. Not only does David refer to him to be a giant simply as this Philistine, but reminds the men of Israel army that he is an uncircumcised man. Alienated from the God of Israel, unable to draw on the great resources of the Lord, and in fact is God's enemy. And today, Our giants come in all shapes and sizes and names. Here's the giants of today that are haunting and intimidating us as sons and daughters of God, that don't just have power, but have authority. And we're allowing these things to dictate our walk with God. And here they are, some of them, the giant of debt, the giant of fear, depression, pornography, rejection. Man, I'm spitting a lot. Slander, discouragement, worthlessness, shame, the giant of the past, despair, hopelessness, and the list goes on. And they're right from the church. And they stand and they hold us back. Listen to me. They may have power, but they don't have authority. You have power and authority. Listen to this. You're going to love this, Michaela. You're going to love this. She's going to get her spirit fingers on in a second. Watch this. Oh, I love this. What am I doing? I'm running. Okay, this means I'm excited. Okay, here we go. Vicky, you're going to love this. When Jesus was walking on water, that's an amazing miracle, right? And we think that's the great miracle. The context is so important. Those people in those times believed that everything of the kingdom of darkness or everything that was of the enemy lived in the sea. So we read about the Leviathan creature, a crocodilian creature that comes out of the sea in the book of Job. We read in the book of Revelation, the seven-headed beast comes from where? The sea. So what Jesus was doing, oh, I'm preaching now. He was illustrating to the disciples a scripture that he was about to teach them chapters later, which is this. While I'm walking on water, I'm just showing you that everything of Satan is under my feet. Because he just doesn't have power, he has authority. So the disciples would have been freaking out, get off the water, get off the water. No. Listen to me, please. Listen to this. We need to stop this saying in the church. We need to stop it. This is the saying, especially coming out of COVID, and I'm just like, oh, for goodness sakes. This is the line that the church is saying, which I believe we need to stop, and this is it. God's in control. I don't believe that statement. Some of you look at me like, what are you talking? What are you doing? It's all good. I leave tomorrow. If I get it wrong, I'm not going to be back, so it's all good. No, but listen to me. We need to stop saying God's in control. This is what we need to start saying. God's in charge. God is sovereign, but we're in way more control than we think. Who chose to be here tonight? You did. Who chose to invite Jesus into their heart? You did. Who chooses to read their word and pray? You. Who chooses to eat the food that you watch the bad stuff that you shouldn't be watching? It's you. And we use that line, God's in control, as a cop-out. And we have these giants that are intimidating us and intimidating leaders, all of these things. And then we use the whole, oh, it's all good, God's in control. And God's looking down from heaven, sitting there going, I reckon, going, Genesis 1, the command is still in play, even more in play, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, which is this, I give you dominion and authority. It's still in play. And so we sit there and go, God, you're in control. He's like, no, you stand up, because I've given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind to rise up against these things and tell them to back off. You gotta understand your voice is the most powerful thing that you have. This is why our prophets, We need our prophets more than ever. They are like the power arm of the fivefold in our church. When they speak, things happen. And we see God saying how to defeat things and how to deal with things by speaking at it. Storm comes, speak to the storm. Does he say to Ezekiel to lay hands on the bones? No, he doesn't. Speak to the bones. Speak to the burning bush. Bush, burn. Tell the mountain to move. Oh, man, I'm preaching, man. The first, listen to this. When God said, let there be light, right? Who was he talking to? Who was he talking to? I'm asking you a question. When God said, let there be light, who was he talking to? That's right. He wasn't talking to us because we weren't created. So I thought the first purpose of communication was for relationship. But it's not. The first purpose of communication was for creation. And when we prophesy, ain't I right, Prophet Vicky? When we prophesy, we are speaking things into be that is not yet be. Because when we speak, we have power and authority. And when we speak to these giants with our authority, they will move. You may not see a mountain move straight away, but over time, it will get weaker. I reckon mountains and giants are like the game Jenga. Man, I'm preaching tonight. You know Jenga? You know the game Jenga, Damien? You know the tower? And one by piece, you know? And then when you get it, the didn'ts get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and then it comes down. That's like when we pray against our giants and our mountains, we speak in it. It may not move straight away, but every time we pray, we speak, we prophesy, it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And let me tell you why these giants are here. Goliath was a stepping stone for David's destiny. David went on to fulfill his greatest years after defeating that giant. And what we hear about is the story when he pulls out his thing, boom, 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 and he kills him. But you don't hear many preachers talk about what he did later. David ran up to Goliath. Oh, I love the Old Testament. And he ran up to him. He didn't grab his sword. He grabbed a Goliath's sword. And some translations say he stood on him and then took his head off. Whoa. Sorry for the kids in the meeting. He stood on him. And your giant that we're going to defeat tonight is a stepping stone for your next season of walking into the fullness of God. We're going to slay some giants tonight. In Jesus' name, let's stand to our feet. Taylor, would you come, the band come? What's your name, bro? Cody. Good to meet you, man. Can I pray for you? Just come up here. You married? Not yet? Just your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. He loves you, man. He really, really loves you, bro. Like when I hear the words tell him how proud of him I am. It's not Jesus or the Holy Spirit speaking, it's the Father. The Father's really proud of you, bro. Got a great call of God on your life, Cody. Called to lead, called
called to lead people out of darkness and into light. You're called to preach, Cody. You've tasted and seen what the world provides, Cody. Now it's time to taste and see what the Lord provides. God's calling you and marking you for this season, Cody. I see disappointment over the last 18 months of a situation. God is going to bring clarity. God is going to bring the answers to the questions. He's going to bring truth. God's been shaping you in all this. You've actually gone through more than what people actually think. And He's really proud of you. This is your season now, bro. I speak against anxiety and fear. I come against words spoken over you by man that have held you back. Father, in the name of Jesus, with your mighty power, would you touch my brother tonight and mark him. Father, on the count of three, I speak against every assignment right now of the kingdom of darkness, Father. Father, and I just release your power over his life. 1, 2, 3, in Jesus' name. I speak to this illness and sickness. You are not welcome here any longer. I cancel every assignment of the kingdom of darkness right now. I come against every word curse, words of death spoken over by man, woman. I break every generational stronghold right now in Jesus' name. You must go and never return. I speak to this whole body. Body, be completely healed in Jesus' name. Blood of the Lamb is greater. And so, Father, we release a miracle into this whole family right now in Jesus' name. All of the sickness must go now. Her whole immune system be completely healed now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you've been with her. So, Father, right now, lift our hands just right now and just begin to thank the Lord. Just begin to reach out to Him. Maybe the band could just sing whatever you want. Just sing something that's like easy for people to sing. We're just going to worship the Lord, okay? God's going to come into this meeting tonight really powerfully. And we draw God into the meetings by praising Him and worshiping Him. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. And God will come when we worship in spirit and truth. And we worship in spirit and truth. He comes and seeks us out. Come on, just for a couple of minutes, just begin to thank Him. Just begin to thank Him that He chose you to live today. Just begin to thank Him that you live in this wonderful city and nation. Just begin to thank Him for what He's done in your life. Come on, just lift your voices to Him. Just begin to clear the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll spend forever in the pleasure I found. Looking in your eyes, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, you can. Goodness, nothing else will satisfy. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can.
Voices that have been with you for some time. You've even tried to medicate them, and these are words that are just like repeating that. Just bad stuff. And those words and voices are going to stop tonight. If that's you, just lift your hand real quick. Yep. Just come out on your altar real quick. Just come. Come. Just come. Just have some people stand behind these people. Come. Come stand on this altar. As you come and stand, lift your hands to the Lord. Just begin to thank Him. Tell Him that He is King. Say, Jesus of Nazareth is King. Just begin to say it right now. Would you lift your hands out to these people, please? Lift your hands out and pray. Pray with me, church. Father, we just thank You right now. Father, we just thank You right now in Jesus' name that everything that is not of You in this place will bow down to You. Father, we command in the mighty name of Jesus, You may have power, but You don't have authority, and You have no legal right to be here any longer. You have no legal right to be here any longer. So we command You right now to go and never to return. I speak to every word right now, every voice right now that is not of God, and every demonic spirit and power that is bringing these lies, You must go. On the count of three, one, two, three, go. Go! Go! One, two, three, go!
I don't want anyone else.
Go!
I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing.
Go! Go!
I don't want anyone else.
Hallelujah, just wait.
I
Thank you, Jesus. What's your name? Louise. Fill him now with everything you've got, Jesus, right now. One, there, two, three. Fill him. Louise, I believe, I could be wrong, but this is what I just saw. It's like winter is over. The season that you've gone through is over. May I have some tissues, please? Winter is over. And I just rebuke the lies of the enemy that has told you that it's your fault. This season, it is not your fault. This season is not your fault. You will not carry these words any longer. Jesus is King, and He is with you and for you. So I speak right now and declare that spring is now for you. This is a new day. The enemy's tried to steal your joy, and you're getting your joy back. He steals our joy because it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If He can take our strength, He can take many things. So you're getting your joy back today. God is bringing restoration to relationships. God is bringing new things. So Father, on the count of three, would you overwhelm your daughter with your great presence and love? On the count of three, one. This is what we're going to do. We're going to drown our past. Those things that I talked about, your past is not going to offer you security any longer. You're not going back to those things any longer. We're leaving it on this altar night, and we're going to watch it drown. We're going to burn some plows tonight. We're not burning husbands and wives, we're burning plows. That thing that is holding you back from the ordinary to extraordinary. The thing that's holding you back from living the greater life. Some of those things that I talked about. You know what your plow is. Some of you have been in disobedience because God's called you to step out and to go into ministry and volunteer. Whatever that looks like, what I talked about, you know what it is. We're going to burn this plow on this altar tonight. And if you have a giant that's been intimidating you for too long, that is holding you back, we're going to cut this thing's head off tonight. It has no more authority over you. You're going to have authority over that, and you're going to step into a new day and a new season. If that's you, you've got something in your past. There's people here, you were in ministry, but something happened. You got offended. You've let man's things get in the way. But you're going to say, you know what? No more. I'm getting back into the boat. I'm getting back on the horse. I'm getting back into ministry. If that's you, you want to drown your past, burn your plow, declare and beat your giant. Get out of your seat and come and stand on this altar right now. Just come. Come.
My heart is an open space for you.
Come forward, right forward. Come right forward. Come forward.
Open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open.
Come on, let's worship together. Come on.
Do whatever you
want. Everyone that's not on the altar, just worship, worship.
And say whatever you want to say.
Going to go back into worship in just a second, but all these people on this altar, whatever it is, you're going to just declare it to the Lord. Lord, whatever it is, one of those three things. Lord, I'm not going back to my past. It's drowning tonight. It ends tonight. This plow, it's not holding me back any longer. I'm not being chained to it. Whatever that giant is, you just call it out. If you need to get loud and do it, and loud and ugly and do it, you get loud and ugly and do it. And you just speak to the giant and you say, get off me. You no longer have legal right to be around me. You may have power, but you don't have authority. And I want you to speak to that giant. And I want you to speak and declare it. And you're going to walk out of here by faith that all these things are done in Jesus' name. Amen. Begin to do business with God. All you on the altar. Come on, let's sing. Let's sing as they do business right now. Come on. Come on, declare it. Declare it. Thank you, Jesus.
Do whatever you want to do. And say whatever you want to say. And move however you want to move. And change whatever you want.